Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord God, as I come to you. Father God, right now, I thank you for much more of what you have spoken to me over the last few days and even still yet this morning. I thank you for showing me where to start. Thank you for showing me where to end. That we will eat just enough that we will be able to absorb, to digest and absorb. Father God, what you are speaking to your people, Father God, that we will advance in dominion, because this is all about repentance so that we can walk in dominion, Father God, and we thank you. Father, we thank you for what you have given us through Jesus and through his sacrifice, through the blood of your Son. We thank you, Lord God, today that I ask for our eyes and our ears to be open in the natural. And I thank you for you opening our eyes and our ears and our hearts in the spirit realm, that we will hear what you have for us. That even within us will say, "Well, oh, I get it. I see it." Father, in the name of Jesus, because again, you are a good, good Father. Holy Spirit, you are a good, good teacher. Jesus, I thank you that you implement it through us to this natural realm to walk in all the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the dominion that you have for us. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Last week, we were in 2 Chronicles 6:6. We may touch there, but I don't think I'm going to start there. I had plans to start there and then go to some other areas, but I am feeling the Lord wanted me to start and continue in some other things, and then we will go back into 2 Chronicles 6. 2 Chronicles 6 is Solomon building the house of the Lord, building a specific thing that we knew, that we have learned, that we've learned that was a place of, that represented sin, and he goes before the altar for the people. The people are right there, so they're with him together, and they are actually repenting before the altar. Okay? So that's where we are there, and we will continue. We're going to see and fill up some other areas before we go into that area to finish it. So, amen?
So you said he built a place of
he
sin.
Built a special place
to
represent
sin. For repentance of
yes.
sin. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the brass bronze mm-hmm. represents sin. So he stood on that platform. We have sinned.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So we're before you to repent for these things that we've done. He's acknowledging being on that platform that we have sinned.
Okay. Amen.
Okay? All right. Now, we went into that the enemy, when he fell, when the Lord cast him out, the Lord didn't name him Satan. The Lord called him Satan.
Mm.
That's clear in Scripture. That doesn't say he named him. We may get to that. I will show you at some point where that is. But I've got all my... That's one thing I do like about my Bible falling apart. Is that I can just take out... I don't have to hold the whole thing. I can just take it out. But even my family, Robert, now sometimes they will want to use it. I'm like, no, because this, my Amplify is so extremely tender that I don't like anybody opening it up, zipping it up, touching it. I'll let you look at it. You give it back to me so I can tenderly put it back together. But I do like that I'm able. So, see, I've got a smorgasbord, so I know I'm very sure that we're not going to get to all of it because we need to absorb this. Okay? This is our way of life. So, the Lord called him the accuser. He called him an adversary, an accuser. That is the very definition of Satan. He's an adversary, one who withstands. He's a superhuman adversary and an opponent. Those are all the definitions. He is the arch enemy of good. He resists. The primitive root of Satan literally means to attack. Figuratively accuses. The primitive root is actually to attack. To be an adversary, to resist. Okay. Now, in okay, let's go here first. Let's go to Luke 18. Let's go to Luke 18. We are going to Luke 18, and I'm going to go ahead and start at the first verse. Let's listen to the Word of God. Verse 1. Also, Luke 18, we're going to start at verse 1. Also, Jesus told them a parable. Listen closely to these words. To the effect that they ought always to pray. He told them the parable so that they would get it, that they are always to pray. That is why he is telling them this parable. Let's be real. Let's get more and more tender towards reading. And I say that so much for myself. These things are just jumping off the page to me now. I used to read through that so quickly. Jesus told them a parable, and then I just go right into the parable. He was telling them a parable for a particular reason. You take a particular vitamin or you eat a particular food for a particular reason to affect your physical body.
Yes.
I eat this kind of food because it helps this in your physical body.
Yes.
I'm telling you this parable so that it'll affect you in the way that you pray.
Wow.
So that you'll always know to pray.
They should always pray.
That's why I'm telling you this story. And this we know, and I say we know because I've always been taught like this in the body of Christ, no matter what minister, pastor, evangelist I listen to. Whenever Jesus said a certain person or a certain city, he was speaking about something that really happened. He says this was in a certain city. He's not giving just an analogy of something that could happen. He's saying this did happen. It was in a certain city.
Wow.
Whenever you see a certain man, a certain woman, a certain thing, Jesus is speaking about something that really happened. Right there we can camp out.
That's right.
I mean, all what I just said, we can camp out.
It's real. It really happened.
That's why I'm not going to rush through this. You should always pray and not to turn coward. That means we could. That means we can. If Jesus said so that you'll not turn coward, that means you have the capability of turning coward. Faint, lose heart, and give up. I'm telling you this parable to the effect that you should always pray so that you won't ever cower down, you won't ever give up. He said, verse 2, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God, nor respected or considered man. He did all about himself. Whatever he wanted to hand down, that was just what he did. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary. That adversary right there is the same word for Satan. It means antidikos in the Greek. Let me see if I can. Antidikos. A-N-T-I-D-I-K-O-S. It literally means one who brings a lawsuit. It comes from the, it is the number 476 in your Strong's, and it also comes from 473 and 1349. She is saying, avenge me of my antidikos, the opponent, an opponent in a suit of law, an adversary, an enemy, an opponent in a lawsuit, especially Satan. That is what this word means. Look it up in the Strong. Look it up in the lexicon. It's what it actually means. All of this is what antidikos means. An opponent in a lawsuit, especially Satan, as the arch enemy adversary. And for a time, verse 4, he would not. But later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God, he said this to his own self. He knows what kind of person he is.
Wow.
I don't reverence or fear God. I don't respect or consider man. Jesus said he told his own self that. What kind of a man is this? Yet, verse 5, because this widow continues to bother me. I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance. He's so full of himself. And wear me out. She obviously was wearing him out. Continuing to come to him.
My God.
Or at the last she will come and rail on me. He knows that in her own self she could get to the point where she's so frustrated she might attack me. She obviously was getting, every time she came, she obviously was a little bit more heightened than the time before. Because he said, there might come a time that she'll actually rail on me. She was getting belligerent because he was not doing his duty as a judge in that city.
That's right.
He said, amplified by her to continual coming, or at the last she will come and rail on me, or assault me, or strangle me.
Goodness.
Verse 6. Then the Lord said, Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge says.
My God.
Listen to him.
Listen.
I need to protect her, defend her against the antidikos, lest she wear me out, or she'll get to the point that she may strangle me. Jesus says, listen to this judge. Then he says, verse 7, and will not our just God, our God who reigns as a righteous judge, then will not our just God defend and protect and avenge His elect, His chosen ones, who cry to Him day and night. Mm. Will He defer them and delay help on their behalf? He's the righteous judge. Would He do this? This is what the unjust judge did. Mm. Will the just God do that? Verse 8. I tell you, He will defend and protect and avenge them speedily.
Speedily. Ah.
However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find persistent in the faith on earth? Jesus is saying, the righteous judge will defend you. Mm. When you bring a case before Him that the enemy is accusing you, He said He will defend you speedily. But then Jesus says, you know what? But more than this, He will do that. Will I still find you in faith? Mm-hmm. Will I still find you when I come mm-hmm. for you? Will you still have been persistent in faith mm-hmm. in the earth? I think He's going back to verse 1. Will I find you in faith, or will I find that you have given up and you have turned coward? Your just judge, your Father, is also your righteous judge. There are certain things that you go to Him before Him as the righteous judge. Mm-hmm. Okay? Revelation 12. We are going to go. We might go all over. You know, it's okay. The Lord always brings it all right back together. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Father, I thought I took that out. Oh, I remember. No, that part is still intact. I have it marked. All right, verse 9 talks about the enemy being cast down, being cast out mm-hmm. of heaven, and all that were with them. Then John the Revelator says, but then I heard a strong voice in the heaven in verse 10 saying, now it has come, the salvation and the power and the kingdom, the dominion, the reign of our God and the power, the sovereignty, the authority of His Christ, the Messiah. For the accuser, the antidikos mm-hmm. of our brethren, he who keeps bringing before our God charges against them day and night. Who's he bringing charges to? The brethren.
Brethren, the elect, the called of God.
The brethren, day and night. Mm. Now, our enemy is defeated by the cross, through the blood, through Jesus going to and through hell. Mm-hmm. He is defeated. But this morning, the Lord spoke to me and said, but he's still loose. I want you to remember, he is defeated. But you have got to enact his defeat. If you don't take dominion, you won't have the freedom. Mm. He is defeated, but he's still loose.
He is still loose.
I haven't chained him up yet. I haven't cast him into the pit yet. He's still loose.
Don't you
forget it.
That's right.
He is defeated. You speak, he's defeated. But even though Joanne's speaking to me this morning in the hall, God gave Joshua and the Hebrews the land, but they still had to go in and fight for it.
Physically take it. Hmm.
But they fought with what God said.
That's right.
You fight with what God says for that particular issue. Mm. But there may be still things there that need to be cleared up.
That's right.
That's what we've got to get.
Got to get it. Yeah.
There are times that through a particular prayer, a particular way, you actually might have already been in the court, didn't realize you were in the court.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because your books got to be clean. You can clean it now, here, and there will be more freedom. You'll walk in more dominion, or you can wait to that day till we all go. My desire is that when we get to that throne, he'll look at me and say, sweetie, go on, your book's clean.
Mm.
You have nothing that you and I have to go over before I let you through. Mm. I'm going to get through.
Mm.
But I want him to say, Angel, just tell her to go on. She's good.
Mm.
See, I don't want to just hear well done. I love that. But I don't want to just hear well done. I want to hear John, I think it's 7:14
mm-hmm.
or John 14:7. You've done all that I've told you to do in the earth. Well done. That's how I want to hear it. You've done everything that I've told you to do in this earth. And I want to make sure that I have all my repentance daily. Because we're in this natural flesh, it is not our desire to do wrong, to fall, to do anything. But we can do one little thing that the enemy, it says, he is before God accusing us day and night. He is the antidikos, which also says that he brings a lawsuit. Jesus is our intercessor. Jesus went through hell. He came out. When Mary was there, she says, is it you? She recognized his voice. Yes, but don't touch me. He had to stay pure. Flesh could not touch him. He would have been contaminated. So that he could go to the Father with his pure sacrifice. Lord, help me. I'm getting help. In the old... Okay, let's look at Colossians real quick. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. The Old Testament is a shadow. It is a type and shadow. When Jesus came, he fulfilled the types and the shadow.
Yes.
When Jesus came, the shadow, there was an outline of how it was going to be. They had to do it in the natural. Jesus stepped in and filled in the shadow. Y'all didn't get it.
It's an outline.
Jesus stepped in and filled the shadow.
He completed it. Yes, he completed it. He gave it substance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Colossians 2, verse 17. Such things,
Colossians 2:17.
Such things are only the shadow of the things to come, and they have only a symbolic value. The Old Testament was symbolic. Everything they did was symbolism. Jesus is our high priest.
Mm-hmm.
He sits in the heavens. He fulfilled the shadow. See, when you have questions, you say, what does the shadow say? Look in the Old Testament. We don't throw the Old Testament away. What does the shadow say?
Uh-huh.
What does the shadow say about the old priest in the Old Testament? What does the symbolic value say? What does the shadow say? The high priest went in to intercede for the people, but he didn't repent for the people. He first had to make sacrifice for his own self, for his own sins. Let me go to my notes. I want to make this real clear, because I'm going to tell you, when I first heard this, this was one of the things that I thought about, that the Lord brought to me, and I thought about it. I said, because things that are still not right in my life, still can't have, there's certain areas that there's no victory. I've cried for 25 years. Jesus, my intercessor, if that's all I have to do, well, I'm sorry, I still didn't get my prayers answered. And I know if God the Father hears anybody, He hears Jesus.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Jesus just being my intercessor isn't enough. What does that mean, He's my intercessor? I'd have my answers, wouldn't I, Mama? All I have to do is, if Jesus is the one going to the Father on my behalf, how come my prayers still aren't answered? Something's wrong with this picture. Horribly wrong. It's on my end. There's something that I'm not getting. There's something I'm not walking in. There's something I don't have revelation in. There's something my eyes have to be open to. And I've got to be willing to say, this sounds crazy, but if it's of God, fine. I'd rather study it and know that it was wrong than to not study it and know that I missed the whole boat and everybody else is walking out there in their dominion and they're walking happy and they're free and they're doing this and that and I'm still sitting over in a pity party because I can't figure out what's going on. Open my eyes, oh God. Open my ears because I just want to know the truth. I want to know how to walk in dominion.
God, Jesus.
I want to know how to walk on this defeated foe and how to keep him back from souls, from my family, from my business, from my bank accounts, from my house, from my country, from the world.
Amen.
I'm supposed to walk in dominion, not him.
That's right. That's
what do I do? Because Jesus being my intercessor is only a part of it. It's not the full. Look at the shadow. What does the shadow say? He went in to do the sacrifices for his own sin. The Lord just spoke this to me this morning. Because he said, no, daughter, that's wrong. Because I was thinking, I said, oh, Lord, that can't. He repented for him. He said, no, that high priest did not. They brought their own sacrifices, did they not?
Mm-hmm.
That was their repentance. They brought their sacrifices after the high priest. They brought, remember, they couldn't have the blemished. The Lord reminded me of that this morning in a split second. I said, I got to look for it. And he told me in a split, he said, you have to look it up. He said, I'm going to tell you right now. Jesus is before the Father as our intercessor, but he doesn't repent for me. You know what he does? He stays his hand so that I won't fall or get any further behind, or that I won't get cast. I won't get slaughtered. Jesus doesn't repent for me. I have to repent for myself. That high priest offered to send for himself, and then as the people brought theirs, then all, that's why they had all those other guys. They were there all, I mean, it was some nasty work.
That's right. That is
Jesus,
right.
Thank you that you filled in the shadow. He stepped into the shadow.
Woo!
Now I'm always saying, what does the shadow say? What does the shadow say? What does the Old Testament say? Because whatever it said that was symbolic, Jesus filled it. So now where is it in the New Testament? Because he filled it.
He made it a reality.
Yes. I like the way one man describes it. It's like you want a snack, you're hungry, and you see the Oreo cookie on a picture. That's just a shadow. You can't eat that picture.
That's right.
But when somebody brings you the Oreo and you get to take it out of there and eat on it, now you ate the reality. You ate the reality. Hallelujah. 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 Now, we're going to end with this so that we can just chew on this. And then we'll start back up after. Because I'll have to get all my stuff together to see where we're even at. All right, we're going to go to Psalms 104. Intercessor. Mm-hmm. Thank God Jesus is my intercessor. Because it stays the hand.
My.
Psalms 1, and I'm sorry, not 104. It is Psalms 106. Verse 30. There was a couple of intercessors in the Old Testament. And this was one of them. Mm. 106 verse 30. 29 says, thus they provoked the Lord to anger. Mm. Because verse 28 says that they joined themselves to idols.
Mm.
You join yourself to sin, they provoke the Lord to anger with their practices, and a plague broke out among them.
Mm-mm.
Then stood up.
Arise.
Yep, arise. That was the message from Jerry Savelle on Friday night. Arise, yes.
Mm.
I said, oh, Father, thank you. He stood up, which means to stand, to hold one's ground, take one's stand, be appointed, remains standing. That is what Jesus, my intercessor, does. His name, I do not know how to pronounce it. I always say the man with the P.
In the heart.
The priest. His name. Are y'all ready for this? Y'all ain't ready for this.
Pinchas.
I'm going to wait for Kathy to finish writing. Y'all are not ready for this.
Oh, Lord have.
Tammy, you ready for this? Oh, I know you are. His name. All right, he's the son of Eleazar, however you pronounce his name. Grandson of Aaron. So he's in the priestly line.
High priestly line, yeah.
Woo! He stood up. He stood his ground for the people of God. And his name means mouth of brass. Woo!
Oh, my God.
Is that not what Solomon stood on?
Oh, my God.
His name literally means mouth of brass.
Oh, Father.
His zealousness for the Lord averted. It stayed. All right? The way that I have been explaining it, when Kathy and I are talking about this, the last 3 months here and there, I brought it up. This is a good picture for us in our day. There is a person on death row. They really believe, the lawyer knows that they're not guilty, but they find one more piece of evidence and they're trying to get it to the governor, because most of our states, I don't know if it works in every state, but most of our states, that's why I'm going to say it like this, is that when they take that person from their regular cell, they bring them to the cells that are what they call death row. There is a phone right there next to the cell. And if the lawyers can get to the governor to present the other piece of evidence or make their one last plea or whatever, they're waiting for that phone to ring, because if the phone rings... If the phone doesn't ring, that just means no. It doesn't ring saying yes or no. It only rings and it means yes. If it rings, that means it's a yes in most states. And if it rings, doesn't always mean pardon. If it rings, it means the governor said stay. Jesus interceding before you for the Father. He's saying, I'm asking you to stay. They did that sin, but it's a stay. Until they come in to get it cleaned up, it's a stay. In His righteousness, it's a stay. That means you won't get slaughtered.
God.
That means that you won't get utterly defeated. That's what all this study means. It ain't that confusing. Quit letting the enemy confuse you. It's religion from the past. We said it did not counteract any other thing that we've ever learned in prayer. It's an element that we didn't exactly know about. Woo!
It's a deeper revelation.
Oh.
It's a deeper.
Yes. Jesus does not repent for me.
My
he
God.
Asked the Father, stay. I'm asking for a stay. The accuser's up there. She did this. She did that. She did that. Her bloodline did this. She did that. She did that. She hasn't come up here yet to face these accusations.
Oh my God, I just got a revelation.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Watch.
I just got a revelation.
Go ahead.
We think Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know what to do. We think that Jesus was saying, God, forgive them of their sin. He said, forgive them for they don't know yet.
Yes.
They don't know yet what they're doing. Stay the hand, God, because they don't know yet. But when you know what you did, you got to repent.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
And the only thing that the court's waiting
Jesus.
On, what
Jesus.
Carolyn brought up last week that she didn't understand, is when you hear that, when you sense it, when you feel it, is that you're being called. You're being summoned. You're being subpoenaed. And if you miss that one, God so mercifully does it again.
He'll call you again to deal with it.
The word says that. No,
come on, sweetie. We said last week you were going to come sit up here. Come on, so Kathy don't have to go back and forth with the micro.
That God, the word says that God will not have us to be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
That he will bring things to light. And it's for our good.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that it's not just for us. We are generational curse breakers.
Yes.
And if we remain ignorant, then we're not the only ones that's suffering or paying the price.
Mm-hmm.
It's our family. It's our neighborhood. It's those that we are responsible for.
Yeah. Up to our nation, up to the world.
That's right.
Because Jesus said, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world, we are responsible for. Okay. So let's finish this man with a P. And then we're going to go and we're going to keep on after, because I just think that this is a lot right here to ingest. Whew. All right. Where am I, Father? Thank you. So his zealousness for the Lord. Phineas, his zealousness for the Lord averted a plague on Israel. And it gained him, I was thankful that I got the understanding on this because it said to all generations, but what it means, those generations, it gained him the promise of the Lord of an everlasting priesthood in his family. Most of our Bibles will say to all generations, to his family. To
wow.
his generations. Because
wow.
he stood up and he did whatever those priests did to stay the hand of God averted from them being destroyed. Hallelujah. If you want to know, his name is the number 6372. Mouth of Brass. And it also comes from 6310, which means mouth, and 5175, which means serpent, which reminded me of the medical staff, healing. Now, an execute judgment is from the word number 6419. Then stood up Phineas and executed judgment means to pray, to intervene, to mediate, judge, to intercede. So he stood up as the intercessor. 6:4-9. And so the plague, the phrase, and so the plague is 4046. The plague meant a blow, B-L-O-W. And so the plague, that phrase, and so the plague is a blow. That means a fatal stroke. It also means slaughter, like in battle. And the third thing it means is a plague of pestilence, which is divine judgments. So Phinehas, standing up, taking his ground, interceding, he stopped a fatal stroke. He stopped a slaughter, like in a battle. Uh-huh. And he stopped divine judgments. And that's what Jesus does for us. Yes, the enemy is defeated, but he's still loose. God says you have got to remember, when you say the enemy is defeated, you need to remind yourself that he's still loose. And I have to enact this word to keep him bound up. He is defeated, but you can let him into your lives and let him wreak havoc. He's defeated by the cross. But he is still the prince and power of the air. Why he tries to keep us tangled up. The word. Whew, and so the plague was one phrase. Was stayed is 6113. It was stayed means it was shut up. It was detained, to restrain, to halt, to stop. By analogy, it means held back. That's what Jesus does for us as our intercessor. He holds back whatever slaughter, whatever fatal strokes, whatever divine judgments.
So it wouldn't take us out.
So it won't take us out.
And that's what happened there.
That's what happened there. Because it says in Colossians, the shadow. What does the shadow say? What did the high priest, what were their positions? What did they do? Jesus now filled that shadow, so that's what he does. That's what he does as our high priest, our defending lawyer in the heavens. That's what he does. He stays. He asks for a stay on our behalf.
Because God was so angry, he was going to take out the whole nation.
Yes.
He was.
Yeah.
Now, where is that scripture reference? I wish I had gotten it earlier. The shadow of this.
Colossians.
In the Old Testament. Well, no. Phinehas is an old. This is an Old Testament.
Account. Oh, yes. And it's in Numbers, I believe. Numbers 25.
So you can read this account that the psalmist is talking about. Because God, in his anger, he was going to. And thank God he was an intercessor that stood in the hedge. He's a type of Christ.
And
that stood in the hedge and made up the gap.
And the Lord made it very clear to me. Made it very clear to me. Yes, I am your intercessor, but I don't repent for you.
No, he doesn't.
I don't repent to you before the Father. You have to come to the righteous judge to clear up your matter. But I defend you. Mm-hmm. You stand in my righteousness.
Oh my
you
God.
Stand in my blood. But I will defend you. And I have stayed the hand of God until you get here.
Glory to God.
Woo!
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I'm going to be a backup to that.
Yes, please do. Right now, I'm stopped because, again, I want to honor the day. And I think it's already 12:30 or past.
Okay.
No. You finish us out. I'm stopped. If I say anything else, y'all come put your hand on my mouth.
Okay. I'm just going to just read the scripture. Psalms 91. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty.
Oh my God.
Whose power no foe can withstand.
Oh my God.
I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust.
Woo!
the shadow.
Okay,
if he's the shadow and we remain obedient.
Don't
go
it up yet.
Don't zip it up yet.
Okay. Go ahead and say what you, I'm sorry, but go ahead and say again what you said about
about him being the shadow, and he fulfilled the shadow of the Old Testament. And through our obedience, we remain under his shadow. He overshadows us. I mean, that's that comes from that Psalms 84:11, where he is the sun and the shield.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Like that force field over us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So a shadow, mm-hmm. to make a shadow have an object,
mm-hmm.
and the sun
mm-hmm.
is casting the shining on the object,
mm-hmm.
the light, the revelation is shining on the object,
mm-hmm.
and forming a picture
mm-hmm.
on the ground that God's wanting us to get the picture.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And in Christ, the picture was fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go read the rest of that Psalm in the Amplified Bible, says Psalms 91, the
Psalms
last 91. Verse. Mm-hmm.
The last verse.
So, speaking of the word knowing, how that's just a shadow until God stays a hand, until we know, until we get the revelation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Read which verse?
I think it's the last verse.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
4:14. Go start at 14.
Because he has set his love upon me, mm-hmm. therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows.
Stops. Because he what?
Because he knows.
Oh, once again, because he what?
He knows.
He knows and understands my name.
Mm-hmm.
Has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. Trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No, never.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll keep him under the shadow
mm-hmm.
because come here, he's going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he is.
Oh. And y'all, if you take it from a personal standpoint, because I have set my love upon him, therefore will he deliver me. He will set me on high because I know and understand his name,
mm.
has a personal knowledge of his mercy, love, and kindness, trust and relies on him, knowing he will never forsake me, no, never.
So I just don't know the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
I know the name.
I know the name.
Oh, my. I know the one who fulfilled the shadow. Because I'm not living, I'm abiding under the shadow,
mm-hmm.
but the shadow has a name.
The shadow has
the
a
shadow
name.
Has a name.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, he reveals who's the name.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Lord.
Jesus.
Because I know his name,
mm-hmm.
I can trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know his name, I have a personal, intimate relationship with his name.
With
I know
his, name.
His character.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Who's a shadow? He's no longer a shadow.
Mm-hmm. He filled it.
He is no longer a shadow.
He filled the shadow. Mm-hmm.
He's no longer a shadow.
He filled the shadow. But there's times that you say, what does the shadow say?
Yes.
I love that term. What does the shadow say?
You look in the Old Testament.
Old Testament.
You look
mm-hmm.
in the Old Testament.
And he filled that shadow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God is so good.
I will set him on high and deliver him because he knows my name.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that means, okay, so I know Jesus. But no. Mm. Really no. Have a revelation. Have a working knowledge. No.
No.
Really no.
No.
No mercy. Know that I'm guilty, but I know his name,
mm-hmm.
that he'll show me mercy
mm-hmm.
if I ask for it and repent, yes. right?
That's right.
Oh, my Father in heaven, glory to God.
Mm.
One of you ladies close us out in prayer.
Father God, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for overshadowing us. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for guiding and directing us with your own eyes. Thank you right now in the name of Jesus for this day that you've made. We've never seen it before. We'll never see it again. Lord, we thank you for asking you to bless each and every one of us as we travel from this place. We thank you for safe travel. I cancel every accident, every calamity, everything that's been time released in the atmosphere for a later day. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus for wisdom and revelation. God, continue to visit us. even in the night seasons, to open up our understanding, God, that we will rise in the mornings in the name of Jesus, knowing that we are victorious, glory to God. And it's not just a plaything, God, or a thought. It's real.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you for that. Bless every father, every family. Amen. Lord, continue to move on the fathers that they would take the rightful place Amen. As head, glory to God, knowing that the home is even stronger Amen. When the father arises. Amen. And we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
I like